And welcome to the Social Disease Podcast. I'm Bridget.
And I'm Jasper.
And today we are talking about our season 9 Niners. Oh my God.
Wow.
So punny. So fun. Yeah. So we're talking about Claire, Allie, Jenna, Dave, Casey, and then I guess some Johnny. Johnny doesn't count, but.
And Connor.
Oh yeah. And Connor. Sorry, Connor. I feel bad. He didn't really do a lot.
No, he didn't.
But Connor's there too.
Yes. Yeah, and this kind of completes this class, kind of. I mean, of course, this class is a whole mess in terms of people coming in and out all the time. Like, who else comes in? Adam in season 10.
Yep.
And then, like, Imogen, Drew, and Dallas all get held back and end up in this class. And yep. Who else? Becky and her trash brother. Get in this class too. But in terms of like what I would consider the core class for like this graduating class, it's this group.
Absolutely. Like when I think of Claire's class, like I think of Casey, Jenna, like all of them, Allie especially, even though we know later on that Casey does end up leaving and not making it to graduation, which kind of pisses me off now that I'm like starting again with them. It's just like I wish that he made it through, you know?
Yeah.
But they did not disappoint this season, like, at all.
Yeah, they did really well.
Because sometimes I'm, like, iffy about Niner plots. They, like, kind of go one way or another. We're going to talk about one of those specific plots that Jasper loves, and I'm like, about. But they really held their own. Like, I was not bored at all watching any of their plots.
Yeah, like, when people say that like, oh, Degrassi got bad after Emma and Paige left and things like that, it's like, did you even watch the episodes after they left, or like did you just leave because they graduated? Because like, yes, some storylines are not great, but that's always true of Degrassi. I think
yeah, you can't win them all, but like I don't think any of the Niners had a plot besides one plot with Claire that was something where I was like, wow, that was like stupid. Like they had some serious ones. They had some silly ones. Like I really think that they pulled it off with this group, and they also have a great group of actors. Like I think every single one of them killed it. Like, especially Dave, like I forgot how good he starts off.
Yes. He is very charismatic.
But do you want to get into it? Cause he's actually who we are starting with this week.
Yes, we're going to start with Dave, because he has, I wouldn't say a season 9 arc necessarily, but I would definitely say that this is the start of Dave's character arc that continues into the season 10 era. So to get into a summary, Dave, it is revealed that he has been at Degrassi for the past semester, and he also happens to be Shantae's cousin, which has no bearing on anything whatsoever, but him and Shantae are cousins. And Dave is kind of pestering Shantae to put him onto her blog because he's upset that he has been at Degrassi for a semester and nobody knows who he is. Like, he goes up to people and they're like, who the hell are you, Minor Niner? So he makes a plan to take down Bruce the Moose, who is the local bully of Degrassi. And he's like, oh, the person who takes down Bruce the Moose would be a hero. So let me be that person. And so what Dave does is he fills a water bottle with pee and sprays it all over Bruce's locker, because that's going to get him to stop being an asshole. Bruce, of course, sees Dave do this and then kind of gets a hit out for Dave and is like, Dave, meet me after school. I'm going to kick your ass. Dave at first is terrified. He's like, Bruce is going to kill me, blah, blah, blah. But he's like, you know, this is going to really get my name out there. Even if I die, like, people will know who I am. So he goes to like whatever alleyway Bruce says to go to after school, and he doesn't get beat up, but he does get a balloon full of pee thrown at him. And apparently this is blog worthy, and Shantae ends up posting about this whole situation on her blog. And this kind of starts Dave and getting his name out there. Dave is also on the basketball team with Casey and Connor, and he ends up winning one of their games. It's kind of serendipitous. He like just winds up with the ball in his hands and he shoots the shot and he gets the basket and wins the game. And so this further increases people knowing him at the school because people care about sports at Degrassi for some reason. So he is feeling very confident and he decides to ask out Jenna, who we will talk about later, but she is also a new girl at Degrassi. Well, I guess Dave isn't new at Degrassi, but Jenna is. And Dave is like, oh, if I go out with Jenna and Casey, you're dating Claire, we could go on double dates. We'll be super cute. So Dave asks Jenna to go to the carnival together, and Jenna says yes, thinking that it's just as friends. But when they are all at the carnival together, Dave is like, oh, I'm gonna win my girlfriend like a bear or something. And Jenna's like, girlfriend? What the hell is he talking about? So Jenna is a bit put off by this, with like Dave being romantic towards her and like saying like, because they're sharing a plate of like a pretzel or something, that like that is so romantic, the most romantic thing that could ever happen. But Jenna, like after this whole carnival thing, she's like, I don't actually like Dave. Like, I just view him as a friend. Like, I don't want to date him at all. And she's a bit reluctant to let him down at first. One, because it would just be an awkward conversation. And two, because like some cheerleaders come up to her and Claire and are like, oh, you're dating guys on the basketball team, right? Like, that would be really cool for you guys to be on the cheerleading team. So Jenna is kind of using Dave to her advantage so that she could get onto the cheerleading team. But it eventually kind of blows up in her face in that Dave is continuing to be like, oh, let's go on dates and stuff. And Jenna just cannot handle it anymore because she really wants nothing to do with him. So she's like, Dave, I don't like you. I'm sorry. I like somebody else. I wonder who. But yeah, they basically make this whole plan to like pretend that Dave dumped Jenna so that Jenna could like act and pretend that she's super upset about it so that she could stay on the cheerleading team and so that Dave could have the rep of like dumping a girl, because that's a cool thing to do apparently. And at the end of this whole thing, after Jenna has acted her ass off and whatever, Claire is like, oh, you'll find somebody good soon. And Jenna's like, I sure hope I do, Claire Bear, while she's looking directly at Casey. Wink, wink. More on that later. But the last thing for Dave after this is, again, he is on the basketball team with Connor, and Connor is feeling a bit left out on the team because he is never put into play. He's always on the bench. And since he is more nerdy, he doesn't really fit in with the rest of his teammates. And at first, Dave is a bit embarrassed to be friends with Connor just because all the other guys on the basketball team are making fun of him. But when Dave realizes how hurt this makes Connor, he ends up standing up for Connor and is like, you know, I'd rather hang out with you than those assholes on the team. And Dave also finds out that Connor has been keeping stats on like everybody's performance in the basketball season. So Dave and Connor kind of team up to give these stats to Coach Carson, the basketball coach, like the main bully, what's his name, Ethan. Like, he has been underperforming, and this kind of like gets Ethan to get onto the bench. So Connor kind of gives it to him. So that's really it for Dave. There is one final plot with him with regards to Allie, but we're going to bring that up when we talk about Allie.
Nice. So I've had like strong feelings in the past about Dave's character, and I think in this season he honestly is like way more tolerable than he is later on. And again, this is nothing to his actor, like it is just his character in Degrassi. But I think that the first plot with like Bruce the Moose and everything is so good, because in the future with Dave, it is a big part of his personality that he wants to be popular. He wants to be well known. He wants everybody to know. He just wants to hang out with the cool kids. And this, starting with like, I want to be on the blog, I want people to know me, like, great start for him.
Yeah, like I mentioned at the beginning, like this is really the start of Dave's arc, which bleeds into season 10 with him pursuing popularity and being cool and stuff. Like, remember with the whole like Miss O underwear motorcycle shenanigans and like Tall Girl on Netflix. So this is definitely the start of that with just introducing Dave. And honestly, all of his plots this season gave me very much JT vibes.
Ooh, that's a good way to put it. I think I agree. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Now that I think about it. Yeah, literally, like, because Allie is like Manny and then David's like JT.
And then Connor fills the role of Toby in that one episode.
Yes. That's so funny. I just feel like that totally adds up.
Yeah. So like both Dave and JT had a good amount of time where they were pursuing popularity and they kind of treat their friends like trash at times because of it. But Dave actually, like, I rewatched that episode with Connor last night and he really only had like one scene where he was like, Connor, I don't want to hang out with you because you're cool or because you're not cool. But once he saw how that made Connor feel, he was like, oh, actually I'm an asshole, so I'm not going to act like that towards him anymore. So compared to JT, Dave actually had a much better friendship, I guess. Like, he acted better as a friend towards Connor than JT did towards Toby.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. I feel like him making that choice was so much better than what JT ever did. So.
And then the Bruce the Moose plot, it was very crude with the whole pee stuff.
Yeah, it was like, definitely silly. Like, it was just silly. That's my word for it.
Yeah, it definitely was. I feel like Bruce the Moose would have beat up Dave, though. Like, didn't Bruce, like, have that whole fighting match thing with Spinner?
Yes, but I also feel like Bruce, I don't know, he, like, actually had attention this season. And even later on, like, him and Johnny get into it about, like, being mature or whatever. So, like, I feel like you're right. But maybe they just didn't want him to, like, beat up a freshman because it's, like, that's just really bad. You know, like, the age difference is bad and, like, it just, like, isn't even a fair fight.
Right.
Like, at all.
I don't know. It was just funny to me. Just because, like, I feel like they're two characters you wouldn't expect to interact ever.
Yeah.
But it worked out somehow. Like, I was entertained by the plot for sure, even though it was kind of stupid.
You loved it? Is that what you're saying?
I did not love it, but I was like, I do not mind that this is on my TV screen.
This the bare minimum. Nice.
What did you think about Jenna and Dave?
Okay, so I texted you while I was watching about it. I was kind of into it. I feel like it would have been like a fun callback if they had them get together in the future, because I feel like they're similar. And the only reason that maybe she didn't like him was because she liked somebody else at the time. But maybe if she didn't like somebody else at the time, it would have worked out.
Well, but also, I don't think that Dave actually liked her.
No, I mean, like, he definitely thought she was attractive. But literally the only thing he said when they broke up was like, oh, great, now I'm not going to be popular anymore. So I was like, that's nice.
It's like he didn't know a single thing about Jenna. He was just like, she's a pretty blonde girl in my grade. And I have some cred now because I won the basketball game. So let me get a hot girlfriend because I can, you know?
Yeah. But I do feel like I don't know. I would have liked to see them try again later. But you did were you the one who you texted me and you were like, what if Dave was the father of Jenna's child?
That would have been a whole mess.
That would have been a total alternate universe situation. But I also was like shocked that halfway through their first quote-unquote date he calls her girlfriend,
right?
I almost like drop dead.
If somebody did that to me on a first day, I would run the fuck away.
See, I was like thinking about it too, because high school is definitely different. Like, people called each other girlfriend, boyfriend, like never spoke to each other in person. So like there's that aspect of it. But I also feel like he completely jumped the gun, like did not read into anything at all.
Or he more so misread things, like when he was saying that they were sharing a plate.
Yeah, that was so weird. I was like, I don't understand. Maybe she just didn't want to carry a plate. Like, what?
Right. She's like, look at me and Jenna. We're sharing a plate, and you and like he's talking to Casey, he's like, you and Claire are not sharing a plate, like we're on a much higher level than you guys. It's like, which, what?
Maybe it was foreshadowing, I don't know.
Foreshadowing from what?
Casey and Claire's breakup.
Oh.
It's a stretch.
A big stretch. I mean.
But it, hey, could be, who knows?
I mean, I guess it is established that Claire and Casey have been drifting apart up until that point. So maybe. Is sharing a plate like a huge deal in dating?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it means that somebody has to hold it and someone doesn't.
Well, regardless, it was still very cute, very freshman type plot. But yeah, like once Jenna like actually said that she didn't like Dave, I thought they handled, like both of them handled it very well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, of course they had the little scheme so that they would both like retain their reputation. Yes. But like, it's not like Dave was angry that she liked somebody else. He was just like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah, which like definitely makes sense, because if he was only in it for the popularity part, then like, yeah, he really wouldn't have any feelings towards them breaking up. But I also want to talk about him and Connor, because I feel like, because him with the Bruce and Mustafa and then him with Jenna, which was like not him being really like immature, but definitely him focusing on like how he like comes across in school as like popular and stuff. The Connor thing was kind of like, okay, like you had the girl, you had the breakup, everybody likes you, you did the basketball game, now how are you going to treat your friends? And then he treated him like shit, and then he like caught himself and turned it around. And I feel like that was like the most development they've ever gave him, besides him treating Adam like garbage and then turning it around.
I think Dave had more development than just those two situations.
I don't, I mean, like, for me, this, I feel like, was the most straightforward good thing. I don't know. I feel like they kind of ruin him in the future with him, like, cheating on his girlfriends, and then having two girlfriends, and then hitting one of them with a car. Like, it just wasn't ideal.
Okay, you have some memory fog, because we discussed how, did Dave cheat on Allie? Unclear, because they were on a break.
Oh yeah, that,
Dave never hit anybody with a car. That wait, never that happened.
What was the deal? He was texting and driving, right?
No. Like his ex-fling,
yeah,
stole his phone and walked into the middle of the street while she was texting. Dave was not driving a car at all.
What? Okay, so maybe I made all of this up.
You made all this up in your head.
All right, listen, I wish we started with season 9, because then at least I could have like cared more about Dave when we did Dave early, like later on.
Listen, I'm still not a Dave fan, but I could still recognize when he had some moments of growth, even yes, if they did not happen very
and
often.
And I'm saying that he had growth in this. This was good. This is like, I saw it. I saw the wheels turning in his head, and he was like, I should not treat people like shit.
Yes.
In this moment.
Yes. I agree. So that was very nice to see. And it, again, a good parallel with JT and Toby.
I feel like later on, does Dave treat Connor like garbage?
No. There's the episode where Dave tases Wesley.
Yes. Okay. I was thinking that was Connor. It's been like 2 years since I watched it. Or maybe a year. I don't know.
But the fact that you thought that Dave hit her with his car... I don't know how you could mix that up.
Why did I think Dave got busted or had like some PSA about texting and driving?
There was one scene, I think, where Dave is texting and driving and he nearly hits somebody in the parking lot, I think. But that's just okay. Like a throwaway scene where he's texting and driving.
Oops. That's all I'll say about that.
But... this is pretty much the last that we'll ever talk about Dave, because he does get blackholed. I guess his last episode is in season 13, so we might mention him one more time. But this is the last time we'll ever like actually talk much about him. So overall, Dave, like again, this is a cute start to his character. There's not too much to him just yet, He, of course, gets much bigger later on. Not my favorite, as we have discussed in the past, but I still appreciate what Dave brought to the show.
Yes, I agree. I think that is a good way to put it.
Yes. Okay, do you want to move on to Allie?
Let's do it. My favorite character.
Okay. So from last season, remember Allie and her senior boyfriend, Johnny, they had sex and she regretted it, but they are still together. And so Allie and Johnny, they are now like openly dating. Remember last season, like Johnny was pretending that they didn't date because he was embarrassed with her, but at least now Johnny is openly dating her. But he's not very affectionate with her. He is not very into PDA at school. And Allie is kind of insecure about the fact that her boyfriend does not really want to kiss her in public. And so she gets the idea to start sexting him some naughty pictures of herself. She gets like a burner phone and gives it to Johnny just so like there's a private phone for him to have to send pictures to. And her plan that this will keep him interested works at first. Like he is like, ooh, my girlfriend is sending me pictures. So I'm going to like this makes me more attracted to her and I'm gonna like cuddle her in public or whatever. But at the same time, Allie has like just joined the photography club or something. And like there's an assignment that they have to do or whatever. And they end up doing a photo shoot with Johnny taking cutesy pictures with Allie's stuffed animals. And so since Johnny is being more affectionate with her because of the nudes, she is like, oh, it'll be fine if I post his cutesy pictures like on like display for the school to see. But of course, Johnny is not okay with this. He's like, you promised nobody would see these, blah, blah, blah. I look like a loser, blah, blah, blah. And in retaliation, he sends Allie's nudes to Bruce. And in classic Degrassi fashion, the pictures get sent to Bruce's phone just as Mr. Simpson is collecting Bruce's phone and Mr. Simpson ends up seeing Allie's nudes. Terrible, so terrible, bad. Terrible.
So bad.
Of course, Allie then gets sent to the principal's office. Miss H has returned. And Miss H gives her a whole lecture about like, what if people see these? It could cost you a job. It could cost you your reputation, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I'm sorry. And that's basically it. And then she goes to Johnny and is like, give me the phone back. Like, I'm breaking up with you. You sent other people my nudes. Like, that is a terrible, awful thing and probably illegal given that she's 14. But Johnny refuses to give it to her. He's like, those are for my eyes only. Nobody will see them. So very shitty behavior.
I hate this whole thing. It is, okay, keep going.
Yeah, pretty terrible. So a teeny bit of time passes and Allie is trying to get the phone back. She like breaks into his locker with Claire and Jenna. And yeah, eventually like Johnny admits that he didn't give the phone back to her so that she would have a reason to talk to him, which weird logic to me, but whatever, I guess it worked because he then ends up giving the phone back to her and like starts flirting with her again. And so Allie is like saying that she's going to get back together with him. But once she like goes to meet him in like a private room or whatever, he tells her that he has genital warts and that she should go get tested. With that, of course, he has to admit that he lied to her about when they had sex, that it was both of their first times. So Allie is completely devastated that one, Johnny lied to her, and then two, that now she might have an STD. So she goes down a internet rabbit hole about what could potentially happen to her if she gets this STD. So basically just Degrassi trying to scare you into not having sex.
The huge.
And Allie makes a plan to embarrass Johnny and like expose to the school that he has an STD. So the plan is to have Jenna flirt with him while she has a microphone on such that he has to admit that he has an STD when Jenna flirts with him. I don't know why they thought this would work, but they do it and Johnny admits that he still has feelings for Allie and that is why he does not want to hook up with Jenna. And so Johnny is of course mad at Allie when he finds out that she was recording him and trying to trap him and such. This ultimately ends the Allie and Johnny saga in that Johnny is pissed at Allie for trying to expose his STD and Allie is pissed at Johnny for lying to her basically their entire relationship. And so the episode ends with like Allie gets tested for the STD, which we never find out the results, so I assume she never got it. And she also ends up getting the HPV vaccine.
Oh, wait. Sorry to interrupt. They say that there's no abnormalities, and they encourage her to get the HPV shot after that.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, it's important. You said you never find out. They do find out. It's not a Paige situation.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, she doesn't get it in any case. Yeah, so basically this plot ends with Allie getting the HPV vaccine and saying goodbye to Johnny for good. What's next? So a while passes, actually. So these two episodes were at the beginning of the season. We don't really check in with Allie or Johnny until the end of the season. And so this next plot is actually about Johnny. So Johnny asks Allie to go to the prom, and Allie rejects him. And he ends up going to the pool hall with Bruce, and he starts flirting with the waitress, but he is embarrassed by being with Bruce because Bruce is like, oh, look at this hot little waitress. You should talk to my boy, Johnny. So Johnny resolves to then go back to the pool hall without Bruce to flirt with her, since he won't have an ogre holding him down. And he blows off Bruce to actually go hang out with her. So he's like asking her to the prom, and she's like, you're in high school? What the fuck? And also Bruce shows up and is like, bro, you blew me off. So they get into a little tussle and they get kicked out of the pool hall. And this little plot ends with Johnny and Bruce apologizing to each other, and Johnny buys Bruce prom tickets so that they could go together as besties. And finally, we have Allie and Dave are serving at the prom, like they're at the punch bowl at the prom. And Dave is like trying to have some fun. He's like, oh, let me show you my cool dance moves, and like, we'll start a club. And Allie at first is not having it. She's like, why are you such a dork? Like, grow up a little bit. But Allie eventually kind of lets her walls down a little bit and has some fun. But of course, Johnny starts making fun of her for having a little fun. So she kind of shuts down again and is like, Dave, you're such a loser, blah, blah, blah. It slightly resolves where like Allie says that her and Dave could still be friends, but she doesn't really fully let down her guard again, as we see in season 10, with her needing to be popular at all costs.
Ooh, good one. Okay, so obviously starting with her and Johnny. God, I can't stand any of this. It's taking out the aspect of this being child pornography. I just can't believe Johnny can even treat her like this. Claire brought up a really good point that was just like, why do you like somebody who's mean to you? And it even shows later, because like Dave and her are actually having genuine fun. And then she's like, wow, why are you turning me into a dork? Blah, blah. Like, she doesn't even know what it's like to have fun with someone because of how shitty Johnny has treated her. Like, yeah. Isn't that crazy?
It's really sad, actually.
It's so sad because it's like, I think in her case, it's very high school situation. Like, it's the first guy that's liked her back. So it's fine that they have nothing in common. It's fine that they don't share the same views on PDA, or that he ignores her in the hallways, or the only reason he's talking to her is because she's sending pictures of herself naked. Like, it just makes sense to her. She's like, this is how a relationship should go, which is like not true at all. But I just like can't get past how Johnny thinks that him keeping the phone that has her pictures on it is equal to her breaking the promise of hanging up a picture of him holding a teddy bear. Like, right, in my mind, that just is, I'm blown away. Like, how, on what planet is that anywhere similar?
Yes, I absolutely agree. Like, so I do see Johnny's point. I'm not justifying him at all, just a preface.
Okay.
I do see his point that like they did set up boundaries, or at least I guess he set up a boundary that PDA is not okay at school, and Allie did break his trust in that way.
Yes.
But you do not retaliate with revenge porn, for one thing. Mm-hmm. So like I feel like that should be the only thing, but maybe that is the only thing. But yeah, you just like do not retaliate with revenge porn. Like, if that is a deal breaker to you, you just break up. you know, like you do not send child pornography, or even if you're an adult, you do not send anybody's nudes to anybody because they were not meant for anybody else's eyes. So yeah, it's just, you cannot justify him at all, even though Allie did break a boundary, you know?
Yep. No, I agree. Like, she should not have hung out of the picture. Fine, whatever. But like, did it earn her nudes to get sent out? No.
No.
Obviously. So I feel like we both, you know, we both agree on this. There's literally like no way around it. Johnny's a shit person. The yeah. end. I do think though that this is kind of going into the later on part of like the STD stuff. I think that they used it in a good way. Like, I think that this was a good way for it to come up, because even though, you know, the usual, like, she had sex once and now she has an STD is like the ridiculous part of Degrassi. But I was really nervous that they were going to get back together. So him admitting that he lied and like slept with a million other girls made me feel like so much better. I was like, thank God, like they're definitely not getting back together at this point.
The fact that she was even considering getting back together with him when he was holding her nudes hostage for weeks.
Yep.
Like, that just shows how little self-esteem Allie has, you know?
That and the fact that all you need is one stupid friend to egg you on, Jenna. Like, well, Jenna is behind all the bad ideas in this season. Let me say that.
Well, I don't think Jenna knew the full context, really.
I think
so. I will give Jenna a slide for giving bad advice here, just because she wasn't around for the whole sex situation. And Allie is kind of glorifying what it was. Like, she was telling Jenna, like, oh, it was beautiful, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, no, you had a really bad time in the days following your first time, Allie. So
Jenna knew about all the picture stuff.
Yes.
And was still encouraging her, if it's fate, if it's destiny, it'll work out. Like, you shouldn't even be entertaining the idea.
I guess so.
But that's why she knew to like go towards her and not to Claire, because she knew Claire would be quote unquote judgy Claire, where in reality it was like the safe thing to do was to stay away from him, not just the like smart thing to do.
Yeah, like, this is a side note, I guess. I do see Allie's point that Claire, even though she is technically right, she isn't really giving Allie the information in a great way to make Allie feel good about her decisions.
Yeah.
So even though Claire is giving her good advice, saying like, what are you doing? Johnny is awful to you. She's also saying it in kind of a demeaning way. And that's why Allie doesn't really want to listen to her.
Yeah, which like, I get, I mean, Claire has that whole issue with herself being judgy, being like unable to get her point across without being rude. We'll see that later on with her, with the whole vampire stuff too. But I don't know, what do you think about the whole PSA thing? Do you feel like it was like okay, not okay?
PSA with what?
Like, if you have STDs, like, here are your options, here's the HPV shot. Like, it wasn't the worst one. I feel like it was like kind of helpful.
Yes, I did like the sexual health aspect of the storyline, but like you said, with like, you have sex one time, now you have an STD scare. It's like they are continuing to punish Allie for having sex with Johnny when honestly, it was one of the better first times, I think, on the show. Like, of course, like, Allie was not ready for it. We talked about that. But in terms of how they handled the aftermath, it was very mature and they recognized that Allie wasn't ready. So yeah, the fact that they're still punishing her for making that mistake doesn't sit right with me.
Well, do you think that, I mean, yeah, I think that they do have a trend of punishing, but I also am wondering if they went this route because they needed, because the thing that she was hanging on to was that like Johnny and I were important to each other because we were each other's first, and the only way to prove that like they weren't was for this to happen, because literally why would she believe him if he was just like, you weren't my first? Like, what proof is there? You know, like, how are we supposed to know? And this is like pretty much the only way to prove it.
Well, but even if Allie was Johnny's first time, that doesn't justify him treating her like trash.
No, it doesn't justify it, but like she was not coming around to the idea that he is trash. Like, I think this was the breaking point.
Yes, for sure.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think that they set it up for it to be a breaking point, but also, unfortunately, it's a punishment episode too.
Yeah. Like, again, the fact that it took up to this, given everything that happened before this, for her to, like, fully let him go, just shows, again, how little Allie thinks of herself and what she deserves in a relationship.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So very sad in that sense, but... yeah, just on a meta level, I just didn't like how they had to give Allie an STD scare in order for that message to come through.
That's fair.
How do you feel about how they treated STDs in general in this episode?
Like, what do you mean?
I guess I'll just say my opinion and you can respond.
Okay, because I'm like, I feel like I kind of said that they did a good job, but maybe not.
Right. So I liked the sexual health aspect for sure.
Yeah.
But like, it kind of felt like they were slut shaming Johnny. If that makes sense. Like, because they do focus on the fact that Johnny is a villain because he lied more than the fact that he has had other sexual partners. But okay. They also, I noted a couple lines. Allie says something like, oh, how many guys have those girls slept with, blah, blah, blah. And like the fact that they try to expose his STD to the school and it's like framed as like a girl power moment, kind of, that like, yes, they're gonna get him back by telling the whole school that he has an STD.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I think that the comment about what girls has like those guys slept with, I don't think it was like a knock at Johnny. I think it's just, that's kind of like one of the PSA things too. The whole point is you don't know who those people have slept with. So I feel like she just kind of said a line that was like out of like a health class book.
Right, exactly. Like I heard that exact line in my high school health classes.
Right, that's what I was thinking too. And yeah, should she have done the STD thing in front of the school? Absolutely not. Like that is so bad. And I think it just kind of puts her in the same, I mean, it's not that close to the nudes thing, but I feel like it did give her some power back, or wanted to give her a sense of power back after the picture situation. So, I mean, obviously villainizing STIs and STDs is not ideal, because if they happen, they happen, you know, like there's ways to prevent it, ways to like not have it happen again or give it to other people, but he kind of deserved it. He was kind of a dick. It's hard for me to be like boo-hoo, you know, like he already is just a piece of crap.
Right, like that's like where I'm a little conflicted, where it's like Johnny is the villain because he has continuously treated Allie terribly.
Yes.
But he's not a villain because he has an STD. And I feel like they kind of conflated the two a little bit.
What do you mean by like conflated?
Like they were like, Johnny lied and like he has an STD because he is a bad person.
No. I don't think so. I don't think he got an STD because he's a bad person. He sleeps with people without condoms on. Like that's how you get an STD. And they just wanted to get a point across that he was sleeping with other people. Like Emma got an STD and she wasn't a bad person. So I never thought, wow, Johnny's an even worse person because he doesn't use a condom, because he used a condom with Allie. If he did not use a condom with Allie, knowing that he had slept with other people, then I would think he is the worst person.
Okay. Yeah, it was just like, I'm not sure which way I feel about it. It was just like a little sketchy to me, so I wanted to talk about it.
That's fair.
Yeah, so I'm just like, were they being a little sketchy with regards to slut shaming people with STDs? Unclear.
I think that it would, like, them announcing it to the school, I don't think ties in with him being slut shamed. I think it would be if she was like, wow, you are an awful person for sleeping with all those people. Like, they never say that. She's never, like, mad that he slept with a bunch of other people. She's more mad that he, like, lied about the first time thing.
Yes.
Yeah. So, because also, like, they don't really slut shame men in this. So, I feel like I would be shocked if they were, like, actually doing that to him.
Yeah, I guess I'm just thinking more broadly of slut shaming people with STDs generally.
I don't think they go down that route, that really, because I feel like then Allie would have probably got the brunt of it. Also, like, why would she out him about having an STD if everybody knew she slept with him? Like, that also is weird.
Right. Because there's also the other scene at the clinic where, like, Allie is like, oh, I'm such a slut. And yeah. Then I think Jenna reads from a pamphlet or something where it's like, STDs only happen to promiscuous people.
Yeah, but then Jenna, I feel like Jenna saves a lot of face. Like, the whole, like, her being like, I'm never gonna have sex again. And Jenna's like, come on, like, be real about it. You know, like, what the heck? And I feel like people who get STDs are, obviously, they're not all promiscuous. But I think Jenna did a good job of, like, shutting it down. I don't think she, like, fed into it.
Yeah, fair enough.
But obviously, they're not going to encourage getting STDs.
Of course not.
They're not gonna be like, go out there, it's okay if you get them. Like, even to this day, high schools are not like, it's okay if you get them. They're like, don't get them, because they're for life, and if you can avoid getting them, it's a lot better than if you get them and give them to other people.
Well, not all STDs are for life, but yes,
you know what I mean.
Yes.
Move on.
Yes. Johnny and Bruce, they had a little bromance episode.
I gotta be honest, I could have done without it. How am I supposed to like Johnny after all that? Why am I supposed to care that he's gonna go treat another woman like garbage? Like, yeah. What am I supposed to do? Be like, wow, Johnny is a person. Like, no, I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah, like, this is Johnny's only plot from his perspective, and it's about his friendship with Bruce, which, up until this point, they don't have much to their friendship, right? It's just, like, them being idiots in the background every couple episodes.
They bully the shit out of people, like, that's about it.
So I don't really care about their friendship to, like, care about a whole episode about their friendship.
Mm-hmm. Cause, like, I'm on the same page about that.
Like, I could recognize that, like, the last scene was cute where Johnny got him the prom ticket. But at the same time, I'm like, why do I care?
Right? Like, is this supposed to be redeeming for Johnny? Because it's not. And, like, is it supposed to be, like, even though Johnny is older and, like, going to college, he's still, like, immature and in high school? Like, I don't understand what you want. Well, I don't like him. I don't like him anymore now that he is a friend. Or quote unquote thinks he grew up, like, I don't know. Him being like, I'm a man. I was like, all right, you're really not. You're garbage.
Yeah. Like, Johnny's character, I feel like they kind of fumbled him pretty badly.
Well, he was the villain. He's just the villain character. And they could have redeemed him when he was dating Allie, but they didn't.
Well, but even outside of just his relationship with Allie, like, we're introduced to him through JT's murder, right?
Yep.
And then there's the episode with Darcy and, like, the troubled teens camp thingy where there's, like, a, like, Johnny has, like, a line talking about how he was fucked up after JT's death.
Sure.
And then that is not explored at all when Johnny is an actual main character.
Yep.
So I feel like it would have been really interesting to explore that. Maybe why Johnny treats Allie like trash is because he's so fucked up from seeing somebody get murdered.
Okay, so the reason I think that they drop it is because it's too far away. Like, the seasons are too far apart for them to bring it back up again. And at this point, all the characters that would have been associated with JT are gone. So, like, if they want to keep new viewers, like, interested, no one's going to know if you just turn on Degrassi for season 9 for the first time that Johnny was a background character in the murder of a kid. You know, like, it's not, it would be too much to, like, bring everything back up. Like, are we really doing this again? you know.
So I could agree with that, but I feel like you could also just kind of frame it as a detail of his past. Like similar to KC, where KC had a ton of shit happen to him before he came on the show.
Yeah.
But we never saw it, but we still see the repercussions of it and how he's dealing with it in the present time.
But I also, part of me doesn't, I don't think that he treats Allie like shit because he watched someone die. I think he treats Allie like shit because he's a shit person.
Oh, no, I agree. I'm just saying they could have written him in that way to kind of explain why, like, rather than him just being a trash person, he's a trash person because he saw somebody die.
I guess. I don't know. It's hard for me because I'm sure like other people saw people die and they don't do this. You know, like Liberty had JT die in her arms and she didn't bully the shit out of people after.
Right. So I'm just saying it's a missed opportunity to not even have it be a part of Johnny's character at all.
Yeah. And then they like have scenes like this and like, how am I supposed to like him or feel anything towards him?
Because when he comes back in season 10, when Allie runs away, they do show how he is more mature since leaving high school.
Yeah, to an extent, where he doesn't casually tell his girlfriend that his ex-girlfriend's living in his dorm room.
But, like, there's a scene in season 10 where, like, Johnny is talking to Allie and he's like, yes, I saw JT die and it fucked me up. Not that we saw how he was fucked up by it. But he's like, now I'm in college, now it's better. So like, if you could just stick it out for a couple of years, it could get better for you too. So yeah. Like, in season 10, they kind of retroactively give Johnny development during these seasons 8 and 9, but we never actually saw that development happen, you know?
Yeah, which is like such a cop-out. Like, it's so easy to do that, you know?
Yeah.
So easy to give him one line to try to save face, but they don't do it in this season.
So I'm not saying that Johnny would be a good person if they had like written him in this way, but he would be a better character at least.
Okay. I can agree with that.
So I'm just thinking like, oh, it was just a missed opportunity to not take advantage of that in a character.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all I got to say for Johnny.
Me too. I'm done with him.
Okay. Last thing here is the cute little Allie and Dave plot.
Yeah, this was definitely cute. If Jenna and Dave were not going to be end game goals or whatever, like, I guess it would have been Allie and Dave. Yeah, I mentioned it before, how Dave kind of shows her, like, what an actual happy relationship, even if it's a friendship, could be compared to, like, what she has with Johnny. And I think it was so cute. And they both have the same goals. They both want to be popular. Like, they both care a lot about what people think of them. Like, she doesn't want to be part of his, like, jump rope thing because she thinks it's babyish and dumb. And she doesn't want, like, Declan or whatever to know she's a part of it. Like, they're the same person.
Yes. And I think this is a great episode to kind of establish that because, again, not their dynamic necessarily, but this part of their characters with wanting to be popular continues into season 10.
Yes.
And then this is a good starting point for their relationship to ultimately grow when they get together in season 11.
Which is so interesting because sometimes, like, we were just talking about Johnny literally 1 second ago and how Degrassi missed the mark with him and his character and his development. And yet they set this up and it, like, is perfect. I'm like, yeah. What? How are they so off sometimes and then so good other times? It's crazy.
Oh. I guess different people write different episodes, maybe.
Yeah, I also wonder if, like, characters have say or, like, whatever. But, yeah, no, I thought this was really cute. I love that Dave, like, stands up to Johnny when Johnny, like, bullies the shit out of them for literally no reason except for just having fun and he's just jealous. Like, It's cute. It is a good end for them, I think, to wrap the season up.
Yes, and then a great transition for season 10.
Agreed.
Okay, anything else for Allie?
I think the only thing is just that Allie is a great character because they give her these hard things when she's so young and she just still, like, pulls them off. She just gets the heaviest plots for a niner.
Right.
So I think that giving a character also like an actress of color too, these huge plots, like I think that is, I was very happy with Degrassi in that sense, even though they do kind of screw over in the end, but for what it is now, I like it. I like what they do with Allie.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I've definitely said this before, but Allie's character arc from seasons 8 through 10 and kind of how that builds up in seasons 8 to 9 just to kind of come crashing down in season 10 and then it resolves itself in season 10 is one of my probably top 5 storylines in Degrassi.
Yes. Allie is absolutely my favorite character out of everybody. I love her so much.
An icon.
That's my shout out for the day. All right, we can move on now.
Okay. So next we have the Casey, Jenna, Claire debacle. The plan is to split this up into two. So basically everything leading up to Casey and Claire's breakup and the whole Coach Carson stuff. And then we'll talk about all that. And then we'll talk about the aftermath with everything that happens with Claire. So to start off, we got Jenna is a new transfer student to Degrassi and she befriends Claire. And Allie is initially jealous of Claire and Jenna's new friendship because she is afraid that Jenna is going to steal Claire away from her. But Claire really likes Jenna, even though Allie keeps telling her not to. And she ends up inviting Jenna over to her house for homework and like they're gonna do their nails or whatever. And Allie is upset that Jenna is there, but Jenna is like, hey, I could be friends with both of you. I don't see what the problem is. So they end up becoming a trio of friends. At the end, Jenna admits that at her old school, she was a boyfriend stealer and that she loves bad boys and that she thinks Casey is so cute. And so it's a bit of a switcheroo that we will see in that Claire was initially the person who liked Jenna and then Jenna ends up kind of backstabbing Claire. And so from there is an episode with Casey where Casey is really one of the only people in grade 9 to be at school that day because it's like bring your niner to work day or something. So he's pretty much the only person at school and he ends up playing some basketball in the gym, which is where he runs into Coach Carson, who is the new basketball coach at Degrassi. And Coach Carson is just like, oh, hey, nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to be your coach. And then like the next day, there's like a basketball game and Casey like messes up a throw or something in the game and he gets really angry at himself. And he ends up like kind of trashing the locker room a little bit. He at least throws some basketballs around the room. But then Carson comes to him and like gives him some comfort and blah, blah, blah. And tells Casey that Casey could come talk to him about anything that is bothering him, whether it is for school or personal things. So already kind of a bit of a sketchy start to their relationship. And then again, just a side note in between this is that Jenna and Dave have their little dating saga and Jenna gives Casey a meaningful look when she says that she hopes she finds a good guy soon. We then meet back up with Casey, who we find out has been drifting apart from Claire a little bit. Like Casey and Jenna are having very flirty vibes. They're just being very friendly with each other and Claire is not very happy about it. And there is a car wash happening and Claire gets very jealous of Jenna and Casey being very flirty at the car wash. Claire confronts Casey about this and Casey calls her crazy and gaslights her a little bit about his feelings towards Jenna. And Casey then confides in Carson about his whole love triangle that's going on. And Carson tells him that it's okay to look at other girls and that his girlfriend is being too uptight. So very inappropriate for a teacher to be telling a freshman. And because of this, Casey goes to Claire's house and breaks up with her. At the same time, there's like a sports banquet happening or something at Degrassi. And Casey wins, I think it's most improved player from Coach Carson for the basketball team. And when he wins, he celebrates by getting together with Jenna. So he gives a good smooch to Jenna. So Jenna and Casey are like canoodling and Carson goes up to Casey and gives him his hotel room key so that him and Jenna could go make out in his hotel room. Very uncomfortable even just explaining this. So Casey and Jenna go up to the hotel room and Coach Carson ends up walking in on them. And so Jenna, of course, is very uncomfortable and leaves, but Carson convinces Casey to stay to like at first just watch some basketball plays, but then he whips out some beers and goes to share some beers with Casey. And then Carson decides to put on some porn for them to watch together. And Casey ends up staying the night at Carson's hotel room. So the next day, Casey is hungover from drinking the beers. Of course, he's 14. And Jenna is sus of Carson when she finds out that Casey stayed in his hotel room, rightfully so. But Casey is just like, oh, it's no worries. Coach is cool, blah, blah, blah. I forget why, but Casey was in Carson's car and Carson like shows him his gun that he keeps in his car and says that like, this is how I defend myself and keep fear away. I don't even know. And then he ends up inviting Casey back to his hotel room once again, because like they're doing a championship game the next day or something. So he wants Casey to like keep his focus on. And he ends up having hired a prostitute for Casey to get him out of his head and to get him to focus. So when this happens, Casey runs out of the hotel because he does not want to have sex with a prostitute as a 14-year-old. And he kind of spirals for a little bit. He ends up stealing Carson's gun from his car while the championship game is happening. And he ends up bringing it into the school. At one point, it seems like he's going to whip it out in front of Carson in the locker room, but he does not. And then he ultimately ends up giving it to Miss Hatzilakos and tells Miss Hatzilakos about all of the inappropriate things that Carson has been doing to him, and Carson gets arrested. And so that's where we will stop for now, because that's pretty much all of Casey's things. Everything after this is really how Claire reacts to the whole situation.
Okay. Where do you want to start?
Do you want to just do the love triangle first?
Sure. So Jenna coming in, I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like you kind of saw it coming because of the amount of hints that they gave us.
It wasn't even hints. They were literally telling us that Jenna was going to steal Casey.
Yes. And the fact that it, like, actually happened is even, like, more annoying. The iconic line of Jenna, your butt crack is showing occurs in this season. It's just, part of me is kind of like, Casey's popularity is building. And, like, I get it. And Claire's is not. And Claire has zero interest in like pretty much anything that Casey is interested in. I mean, she's going to the games and stuff, but like they don't have the same friends really besides their like core group. Jenna joined the Spirit Squad. You know, she's out there cheering, like hanging out with them. Like they're always together. It was only a matter of time. It kind of sucks that Claire kind of got like pushed out. I do agree in this sense, even though they didn't physically cheat, there was definitely some emotional cheating that was going on in this relationship.
Yeah, like Claire even asks him when they break up. She says, like how long have you liked her or something like that? And he says, like, I tried not to.
Yeah, it pretty much admits that. I'm kind of shocked by how little they show Claire being upset about it. But, I mean, they, like, are like, Claire's upset, but like, I don't know. I feel like they never had her like have a like alone scene about it, you know?
Yeah, I guess that's kind of why they check in with her more in the episodes after this. But I also think she kind of saw it coming. So she wasn't surprised.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like the whole car wash scene was like a perfect example of the fact that he was literally flirting and then gaslighted her about it, which is so annoying.
It very pretty much one-to-one paralleled the car wash with Paige, Spinner, and Manny in season
four. Oh my god, exactly.
Yeah, like exactly the same.
That's so funny. I didn't even think about that.
So yeah, it really sucks for Claire. And I know that you have expressed disdain for Jenna for what? This in the past.
No.
But honestly, I do not think Jenna did anything wrong.
No, I don't think she did either. I mean, like, look, if you're gonna be mature and old and whatever about this, then you gotta blame the boyfriend. You can't blame the girl, you're blaming the boyfriend. Like, he was the one that allowed whatever was happening to happen, you know? Like, he was the one that was in the relationship. Jenna didn't go out of her way to like talk to him. Like, she wasn't really like doing anything other than just acting like herself. Like, I will give her that. She was not pursuing him.
Yeah.
As Claire was dating him.
Yeah. Like, I'm just thinking, like, Manny, for example, went out of her way to like kind of steal Craig away.
Yeah.
At some points. Whereas Jenna, like, did she have a crush on KC while he was with Claire? Absolutely. But did she like make any advances on him? No. She was just being a friendly person. And because she happened to have a crush on him, she was maybe a bit overly friendly with him at times.
Yes.
Like, it wasn't like she was trying to hurt Claire. It was just like she had feelings for him. She likes him, so she was spending time with him.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, it would be interesting to hear if there was some like texting on the side going on or like something more to kind of understand like how they like grew to like each other when they never really had moments alone. But I guess it doesn't really matter because it's kind of high school and like Jenna is the new pretty girl who's becoming popular and can sing and whatever. So like, of course Casey's gonna be interested. Like, Dave is interested, everybody's interested in who Jenna is. So it kind of adds up. Not to knock Claire, but Claire is kind of boring. So doesn't help her case.
Yes. And like, it's kind of established even in season 8 that Claire and KC aren't super compatible. So
yeah, it takes them forever to get together. And then when they are together, it's kind of like, all right, like basic high school couple. Plus like Claire has no interest in like doing anything more than kissing, which we'll see her like internal crisis when we talk about it. So I'm sure that would have been a point that they would have reached together that also would have caused conflict in their relationship if they ever decided to move forward physically.
Yes, absolutely. So it all makes sense in how it played out. And again, like you said, it is on KC the most of anybody else. But I do think he did break up with Claire at the right time. Like, when he realized he liked Jenna, he went and broke up with Claire.
Yeah, because I don't think that he liked Jenna any time before the car wash. Like, I did not ever sense that he, you know, like, I think the car wash was, like, it. Well, yeah. I guess when was the pickup spin around? Same episode?
Yes.
Okay. So, like, that moment, I feel like maybe, you know, like, that was kind of the turning point. And yeah, he realized he went, broke up with her. He was somewhat honest.
KC was a bit mean to Claire, like when he gaslit her at the car wash for sure. Yeah. But even when he was breaking up with her, it was kind of, he didn't treat her very nicely, even though he was breaking up with her at the right time.
Oh yeah, no, I think he was a total dick. And like, he's a dick later too, when he's like, I just want to see if you're okay. And she's like, I'm literally fine, leave me alone. And he's like, mad that she's fine.
Yeah,
like, I don't understand why he wants her to be sad about it, but that's just like not who she is.
Right. So I do think people overblow how much Jenna had a role in this breakup, because again, I do not think she is at fault at all here. But otherwise, it's just a shitty situation.
Yeah, I think that her not saying anything to Claire and Allie was also probably the best, because I can't imagine it would have went over well if she was honest with them about her feelings towards her friend's boyfriend.
Yeah, I could maybe see her talking to Allie about it. But as we see, like, Allie is like, she says something when Jenna and KC kiss at the banquet. She's like, Claire's gonna be pissed when she hears about this, or something like that. So
she takes Claire's side in the situation, 100%.
I mean, as you should, I think, but
yes.
Yeah, because even if Jenna didn't do anything wrong, they still got together the same day Claire and KC broke up. If Jenna genuinely cared for Claire's feelings as a friend, she would have waited a bit of time before getting together with KC. Kind of similar to Shantae and Danny with Leia.
Yeah, but at least, like, Danny was like honest with Leia about, like, he seemed to have been a little bit nicer than KC was.
Yes, absolutely. But like on Jenna's side, like if she views Claire as her friend, she wouldn't have gotten together with Casey so quickly.
Oh yeah, especially since Claire was her first friend.
Yeah.
At Degrassi.
Yeah, for sure.
That might be why people judge her.
What I see is that people think that Casey and Jenna like had a full-on affair, but like that did not happen.
No, that literally didn't happen.
So let's go on to the Coach Carson stuff then.
I hate talking about this stuff.
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable, very inappropriate, obviously. Obviously, this whole situation is Carson grooming Casey. Like, that's what it is. And it makes sense why they gave Casey these plots, because he is, like, in such a sticky situation in terms of, like, his past, and, like, he's living in a group home. Kind of the idea is that Casey has never had a positive adult figure in his life. So Carson giving him some positive attention, he's going to latch onto that.
Yes. Yeah, the whole point is to kind of tie into the stereotypes of these situations. And most of the time they include like somebody who is like this, like a teacher, adult, whatever. They usually look for a kid who does not have a stable parental anybody in their life. So Casey like 100% fits the bill for this. And like, I'm not shocked that they picked him, considering they lead in the whole episode is, I don't have parents to take me to work with them on this day. So it's like, oh, there he is. He doesn't have parents. He doesn't have somebody that cares about him. Now Coach is going to step in and be that person.
And there's even like little things like buying him the sports jacket so that he would feel a part of the team. And what other things? Like, didn't they have like private lessons here and there too?
Yeah, him putting him in the game, even though he's a freshman.
Yes.
Him like encouraging him to stay on the team, like buying the jacket, I feel like can go into either like, I'm trying to make him feel like he owes me, even like kind of like, oh, well, I'm doing this for you. Like nobody else is doing this for you. Like that kind of thing. Cause eventually he's just like, oh yeah. Like when Jenna brings it up, he goes, oh no, like Coach Carr, you know, does all these things for me. Like, you know, he's a good guy, whatever. Even if Jenna's like, I have a weird feeling about him. Casey like feels though he needs to stand up for him because he's getting all these things and attention and whatnot.
Right. And like Carson even like shows up at the group home, right? To like kind of vouch for Casey and say like how good he's doing, to even like get the trust of the person who is in charge of Casey.
Yes, because then when Casey stays out late at night with him, like, it's not a surprise because the guy's like his foster or group home person like met him. So he knows who he is. Like he knows he works for the school, like all that stuff.
Yeah. So like, I think they wrote it pretty well in terms of like the warning signs and stuff like that, because they haven't really done anything like this before, besides maybe if you want to consider Emma and her cyber stalker as grooming, which it kind of was.
Yeah, I feel like that's probably the closest thing to it. I would say that this is definitely the closest thing to that.
Yeah. But also, like, from Coach Carson's perspective, I don't know what he expected to happen when Casey was mad at him. Like, he's like, oh, I never touched you. You can't do anything to me. But it's like, you gave a minor alcohol, you hired a minor a prostitute, like, you think you're not going to get in trouble for those things? Like, his logic with doing all of these things, I don't know how he expected anything not to happen to him.
I think the reason he says that is in hopes that, like, Casey doesn't think that anything can come from him saying anything. You know, like, I didn't touch you, so, like, what are you going to expect? Because he could twist it and be like, well, you know, like, Casey brought the beer and drank it himself. Like, I didn't call them like Casey did. You know what I mean? Like, stupid things that obviously, like, aren't going to be disproven in any sense. But I think that was just his last attempt at being like, I have the control. Nobody's going to believe you, blah, blah, blah. Like, that kind of thing.
Yeah, because I feel like the classic line is, like, don't tell anybody. Carson, I don't think, ever told Casey to not tell anybody, you know? Because, like, even with the beer drinking, I feel like some teenagers wouldn't see a problem with that. So I feel like that could have been something that KC would brag to, like, Dave about. It's like, oh, I drank some beers with Coach. Like, we're so tight, you know? Mm-hmm. And that could get around school. So I feel like the fact that Carson never told KC to keep it a secret seemed a little off given the nature of the things they were doing. So I was like, is Carson just an idiot man? I don't know.
Part of me wonders if he didn't say, like, don't tell anyone, because then it even looks like what he's doing is wrong. By not saying that, it's kind of like, oh yeah, like, what's wrong with you drinking a couple of beers and crashing on my couch? Like, nothing. You know, like, why wouldn't you be able to tell somebody about that?
I don't know. I'm just being a bit nitpicky towards the writing of Carson's character, I guess.
But also think about it. Did Casey tell anybody? Not until the second part, yeah. I mean, he told Jenna, but, like, nothing came from it, because I think Coach Carson knew at that point that, like, okay, he got drunk, like, now what, you know? And, like, Casey also was so far in it that he knew he wouldn't say anything, because then he wouldn't be able to play at the playoffs.
True. That's a good point.
But, no, I mean, the whole thing is, like, fucked up. And it's just a weird... I think it was just weird.
Yes, yes. It definitely escalated very quickly, especially with the gun. Like, the gun kind of seemed unnecessary in a lot of ways. Because, like, so many fucked up things had already happened to Casey at that point that the addition of the gun was just, like, why? Because the way that they framed it when Casey had the gun, it was very similar to Rick.
Yeah.
Right? With, like, he's holding the gun inside of a little bag. And he's walking around the school. So I think that was definitely intentional. But in terms of, like, why the gun was there, it didn't really have an effect besides, like, oh, is Casey going to shoot somebody? Well, that tense moment, I guess.
Yeah.
But besides that, it kind of felt like, why is a gun involved?
I think it kind of ties into the reason that the gun was even brought up to begin with was, like, having this gun makes me feel like I can do anything and I don't have fear. So I think Casey was like, oh, this man made me feel this way. This gun will make me feel safer. That's what was the whole reason they introduced it to begin with. So I think that's the symbolism behind it.
I guess so. Like, it kind of seemed like Casey took the gun with the intention of shooting Carson.
Yeah, that was what was going to happen.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess what you said makes sense.
I also think that they did a poor job at building up to Casey being not sporadic. What am I thinking? Like, Casey, like, not having control over his emotions. Because, like, he loses it in the locker room. Like, that's kind of weird. You know, like, he has a short temper. There we go. That's what I was trying to get to.
Yes.
This guy has a short temper. So I think they, like, did a poor job at building up to the fact that, like, he can't control his emotions, so, like, the gun makes sense. But they didn't have him have enough meltdowns for it to, like, make sense in that way.
I guess so. Yeah.
I feel like we could have done without it in the end. I feel like I'm on the same page with you. Like, it didn't really fit into, like, what was going on.
Right. But I guess in a broader sense, this does, like, in the aftermath, I guess, of this, we see next season that Casey even has a greater aversion to adults. Like, in the episode when his mom comes back, like, of course, he's already distrustful of his mom because of the abuse that he faced from her. But yeah, there's also, he doesn't trust, like, Armstrong, like, when he tries to get help from Armstrong. Yeah. So you could kind of see the effects of, like, Casey has never had a positive adult in his life, and the few times that he has trusted adults, they've all let him down.
Yeah.
So that kind of sucks.
Poor kid.
Yeah.
And then he leaves.
Yeah. Because they mention it a little bit in the episode where Casey cheats on the math exam from Claire. But I feel like they didn't really give the aftermath of how this affected Casey the attention that it really needed.
Oh, yeah. I agree. And this is kind of a common trend that we talk about pretty often that happens in Degrassi. They do a one and done.
Yeah. So I would have liked to see, like, Casey dealing with the fact that he was being groomed a bit more, I guess.
Yeah. And I am the opposite, as I always am, where I'm like, I'm glad that they didn't because I hate this. Like, I get it, just makes you, like, so sad.
Yeah. Because they don't really make a super explicit link to, like, all of this stuff to the pregnancy. But I guess that's my point. It's like,
I was gonna say, I don't think the pregnancy has anything to do with this. Why would it?
Well, I don't know, just kind of illustrating Casey's self-destructive, like how this has made him a bit more self-destructive, perhaps.
I don't think an accidental pregnancy is a self-destructive thing. I don't think he didn't use the not use the condom because he hates himself. Like, I feel like that's a two-person decision in that.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm saying.
It's okay. No, I feel like I understand what you're saying, though. You're like, you want a future connection for him for why he acts the way he does.
Yes, yes.
I got you. Don't you worry.
But yes, I think that's all I got for Casey and Jenna.
What do you think? In this season, who do you think is a better couple? Casey and Jenna or Casey and Claire?
Can I say neither?
You could say neither. I think personally, my other question was, do you think that Jenna was the right person for him to be with when all this was happening? Or do you think that he should have been with Claire?
I think Claire, like, for example, Casey told Jenna right away about, like, oh, I slept over at Coach's hotel room. If Casey told Claire that same information, Claire would have told an adult. And it would have ended sooner.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess Claire might have been better in that sense. But I still think Jenna did a pretty good job of supporting Casey in the aftermath.
Okay. Yeah, I think Claire would have been, like, weirdly judgy about this too, and it just wouldn't have, like, went over well.
Yeah, well, because, like, Claire has the experience with Darcy and, like, her creepy internet stalker, right?
Oh, true.
So Claire's, like, kind of familiar with creepy adults, at least a little bit.
I forgot about that.
So I feel like Claire could maybe have recognized the warning signs if Casey had confided in her.
Interesting. Okay. Good point. Okay, now I'm ready to move on.
Okay. Okay, final things for little baby Claire. So all of this happens after this whole Coach Carson debacle and that Casey and Claire have broken up. So starts with Claire feels that she is a boring person when she has an English assignment to write about, like, something exciting in her life. And she can't really think of anything in her life that has ever been super exciting. And so she is talking to Declan because she is the prop master on Declan's musical. And so Declan is just, like, telling her a story about, like, riding a Vespa in Italy or something. And so she steals this story for her English assignment and passes it off as her own story. And she, like, feels a bit better about herself, even though she lied. But of course, Allie ends up finding out that Claire lied when they're, like, waiting online for Above the Dot. And, like, Declan runs into Claire and is like, oh, I was boring her with my Italy stories earlier, blah, blah, blah. So Claire is, like, super embarrassed. But Allie, like, says that it's okay. Like, you actually do have kind of an exciting life. Like, your boyfriend just cheated on you. And Claire is like, well, I don't really want to write about that for class. But in order to kind of increase her confidence, Claire decides to get a new bra. And by writing about her feelings in her diary, where she is going to write a new story where she ends up with the guy, aka Casey. And then from there, Claire has been riding off a storm She's been writing some vampire fan fiction. What is it? A self-insert fan fiction with her and Declan. Because she has been having vampire dreams of her biting Declan's neck. And also Declan biting her neck. So Claire has been writing some very erotic stories the past couple weeks. And Allie ends up convincing her to upload the story to a fan fiction site using the username Madame Degrassi. And of course, Holly J is an avid vampire fan fiction reader, and she ends up finding Claire's fan fiction. And she actually isn't mean about it. She's like, oh my god, this Madame Degrassi has a really good way with words. I'm like, she's so into my boyfriend. I love it. So very interesting characterization on Holly J's part. But on Claire's side, she's like, oh my god, people are reading it. They don't know it's me, but like they're reading my stuff. But she actually ends up writing some more because of the positive feedback that she's been getting. She also ends up stealing Declan's sweater. And at a party with some other Niners, she ends up getting Spin the Bottle for 7 minutes in Heaven with Wesley. And when they're in the closet and they're making out, she bites his neck and gives him a hickey. So Claire is kind of like really embarrassed. She's like, I'm a pervert. Like, I'm not going to write or read these vampire things anymore. And then later, she ends up talking to Declan about props, and she ends up kissing his neck. And Declan puts two and two together to realize that Claire is Madame Degrassi. So Declan, of course, tells Holly J, and Holly J is surprisingly cool about it. She's like, well, having horny feelings is normal, and like, I'd rather you write horny fan fiction about my boyfriend than actually kiss him. And then Claire kind of realizes that writing is a good outlet for her and continues to write her stories. Okay. And then finally, KC, we check back in with him. He is not doing too well in his math class for like his final exam for the end of the year. And Jenna convinces him to ask Claire to cheat off of her. So Claire is initially like, oh no, I can't cheat, whatever. But during the exam, she ends up giving him the answers. But she ends up realizing that Jenna is the person who gave KC the idea to cheat on her. And so she gets really angry. She's like, oh, you cheated on me just so you could slack off and make out with your girlfriend. And so this makes KC feel really bad. And he ends up confessing and getting a 0 on the exam. KC goes to apologize to Claire about the whole situation. And he's like, oh, it's all Jenna's fault. Like, she made me do it. And like, I've been so fucked up since everything that happened with Coach Carson. And then Claire is like, well, maybe you should check in with yourself about your own actions instead of blaming everybody else. And so Claire kind of blows him off and says, I'll see you in the fall. And that is it for our little minor Niners.
All right. Okay, so I guess we'll start with like Claire feeling boring. I can't stand this fan fiction plot. I'm sorry. It just doesn't seem like it makes sense for her character.
Why not?
Because like, how many people are like, actually, like, this is not happening. Like, you're not like full on biting people and then like kissing people you don't even know's neck. Like, that's not realistic. Like, and she, it just doesn't fit for me. Like, fine, the writing part, okay. The writing of the fan fiction, fine. But the actual like physical assault on men does not add up for me.
Okay, it is not physical assault.
I would say Declan did not agree to that.
She pecked his neck because she was a little horny.
I would punch a man in the face for that one.
Okay, fair enough. But Wesley, they were full on making out.
Yes, okay, fine. Wesley, until she literally, I thought she drew blood from what I remembered. She did not draw blood. I was like, thank God, because that would have been really painful.
I don't think Claire's that kinky.
I don't know. Apparently, we don't know. I don't know. Why don't you have your thoughts on it? Because I won't say anything positive this week.
Okay. I could agree that the kissing Declan himself part was unrealistic, but like they had to do it for the plot. But in terms of like writing fan fiction and like expressing her horny feelings, like towards Wesley at least, I think that was completely realistic. I know many friends who have written fan fiction. I don't know necessarily if it was pornographic fan fiction, but like I know I even wrote some fan fiction myself in middle school.
Which, no, I'm totally not like, fan fiction is fine. Like, I know people who still write it, like, totally fine. It just, I don't know. I think it was the physical actions for her and the weird, like, crossover of like Vampire Claire was what was doing it for me. I was like, I can't do this.
Okay. So this is undoubtedly the cringiest episode in the entire Degrassi franchise. No Absolutely. Doubt about it.
Oh my God, yes.
But that is why it is so good. Because I feel like that is how being a teenager works a lot of the time, and that you do a ton of cringy shit that you don't realize is cringy at the time until you look back at all this stupid shit you did and you're like, wow, I really wrote vampire fan fiction about the hot guy in school, you know?
Oh, so true. I also, I don't know, I'll give it to her though, because her doing this, I feel like really helped her move on from Casey also.
Yes.
So I think that was kind of nice.
Yes. And then on top of that, I know you have mostly negative feelings towards like the puberty sex plots, right?
Yeah.
But like with Claire, I think is the first time that they do those plots with a girl. Like, I'm pretty sure most of the time they're with boys.
Don't they have the vibrator one?
Well, that's with Claire too.
Oh, okay.
Right? So like these sex plots with Claire are the first like puberty sex plots that they're doing with a female character, which I think is very commendable because of like the stigma of girls being interested in sex.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Because girls are interested in sex and they're going to express that in healthier or unhealthy ways. And it's important to kind of show that that's okay.
Yes.
So I really enjoy this plot just because it really shows how puberty works a lot of the time, because most people are not going to go out to buy a penis pump and they're not going to go and watch porn with their friends like JT and Toby, but many of them might be expressing their horny feelings through writing or maybe getting a little frisky in 7 Minutes in Heaven. I don't know. I've never been at a party where we played 7 Minutes in Heaven, but
was this around the time that like Twilight came out? Is that why this
Absolutely. Is happening? 100%. Well, I think it was called Fortnite was the knockoff. It's 100% a knockoff of Twilight.
Fortnite?
Yeah, that's what the knockoff Twilight was called in Degrassi, right?
Like the game that everybody plays now?
Yes.
That's weird. Okay. So,
they were absolutely capitalizing on the Twilight craze of the time. And that's why it was vampire themed. But I think the broader message of like teenagers expressing their sexual feelings is kind of universal.
Okay. I feel like Holly J wouldn't have reacted like this.
Well, I was thinking that we could talk about that in our Holly J episode.
Oh, because, fine.
Yeah, because I have several thoughts about Holly J's development in season 9.
Okay.
But yes, I do think her being super cool and telling Claire to keep writing stories about her boyfriend was not super in character for Holly J.
Yeah, that was definitely odd for her. But okay, if we're not going to talk about it, then that's fine.
Yeah. But I also mentioned this in season 8, but like, this whole horny teenager thing fits into Claire's arc of a teenage girl going through puberty and learning about sex. So
yes.
This is, I've thought about it, but I think there's like at least one episode in every season where this kind of comes up for Claire. And this is that episode for season 9. Last season was the vibrator.
Yeah.
So it just kind of fits into my perception of Claire's character arc as well. So that's why I just love this episode so much.
I just can't do it. I don't know. I'm going to let you have this one. I'm not going to fight you on it. I'm going to let you live your best life. I do not love that you tweeted that that's the greatest episode or whatever. I also am on that Twitter account. Don't forget.
You could issue a retraction if you would like.
No, I feel like you just say, except Bridget. But yeah, I don't know. I always feel uncomfortable talking about this because I'm an adult and I don't really want to talk about children in this way, I guess.
That is fair.
Which is why I'm like always like, yeah, I don't really want to, but it's fine.
Yeah, I do think it's important to talk about because I feel like a lot of the time when people talk about teenagers, they're like, oh, we need to shelter them as much as we can. But if you do that, then they will not be prepared for adulthood.
Sure.
So I think it's important to have like these uncomfortable conversations with teenagers because like they are mentally capable of learning about these things and they might not have the tools to deal with them, but that is why it is our job as adults to help them deal with them.
Okay. Not me specifically, the health teacher.
Yes, I'm talking generally. The what's it? The royal we. Yeah, that is my thesis on Vampire Claire.
Wonderful. Where do we go next?
I guess the only other thing is just her and Casey post breakup.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like Claire is she like trying to get him back when she offers to help him with math? Like, what do you think the deal is? Like, it's very confusing.
Yes. So there's the episode where she thinks she's boring and that episode ends where she's like, I still need to write the part where I get the boy back, you know?
Yes. Which is why I was like, oh, she wants to get him back. But then I feel like the whole vampire thing kind of proved that she like moved on because she liked Declan instead.
I don't think she liked Declan. I think she was horny for Declan.
Which is like, I feel like at that point, she's not, like, Casey is not mentioned. Like, it's done.
No.
Well, now, obviously not, which is why I was like, why did they do this then?
So I think it was to fully cut the ties with Casey.
No, I mean, like, why did they do the vampire episode in between if then she's just going to keep going back to Casey? Like, I feel like led me in a different direction. I was very confused.
Yeah, I guess the chronology probably could have happened in either way.
I feel like if she did the Casey stuff, the math thing happened, and then the stuff with the vampire thing happened, I think that would have made more sense, in my opinion.
I could see that for sure.
Because it felt like kind of a weird one-off for her, even though it could have been part of the plot if they hadn't put it in the middle of like her wanting to get Casey back, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense, because how I view the math plot is that she helps him because she still likes him.
Yes, which is what I thought too, but I was like, wait a second, I thought she was over him because we were doing the Declan thing, but I guess not.
Yeah, but then when she finds out that he only wanted help from her, not because he still liked her, but because he was failing, that's when she realized that he was trash and then was like, I'm cutting you off. I'm over you.
Yes. Okay. That's, I mean, like, I kind of figured it out, but I was kind of like, this was like a weird way to do it.
Yeah. I guess the vampire plot could have been like the ending for her.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Even if she was like, see you next September or whatever to Casey, like, but I guess the times of the finals, I don't know. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it works either way, but yeah, now that you say it, I do think the vampire plot could have been a better conclusion.
It's okay. I mean, regardless, like, Casey ruins every opportunity to be friends with Claire in this episode.
Yes, for sure.
And Jenna doesn't care either. Like, Jenna doesn't care about Claire. Like, did she ever? I don't know. Probably not.
Maybe at first, but she very quickly got over it.
Yeah, so that whole thing happened. I will say that, like, it was a tiny bit harsh of Claire to be like, you don't take any responsibility because he, like, said the Coach Carson stuff along with the Jenna stuff. I don't know. I was like, girl, you gotta give him a little leeway. Like, that did just happen.
Yeah. Like, I do think they were harsh on Casey by saying that because, like I just said, like, they don't really explore Casey's feelings after it. And yeah. In that scene, they kind of invalidate his feelings in some amount of way. So I absolutely agree with you there.
But I do think in the sense that she is correct, that he does not take, he was like kind of like blaming Jenna. He's like, everything happened after me and Jenna got together. And it's like, obviously the Coach Carson stuff did not happen because you were with Jenna. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and I wonder if in his head he really believed that. But the other things did happen because he was with Jenna. It was Jenna's idea to cheat on the test. And like, it was Jenna's idea to like slack off, you know? And like, sure, he could have also said yes, but like, he wasn't wrong, but was 50-50. Like, he should also take responsibility.
Yeah, like, even if Jenna gave you the idea, you're the person who went through with the idea.
Yeah. And I'm not, you know, like, Jenna is whatever in this season. Like, I don't really care too much. But Claire wasn't wrong about him needing to, like, learn how to take responsibility.
Yeah, absolutely. He absolutely took advantage of Claire's feelings, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, especially since he, like, gaslighted her into thinking, like, it was her fault, almost. Like, I don't know. He's like, why are you so mad all the time? It's, like, literally because you.
Yeah, so I'm definitely conflicted on Casey because, yes, he was a dick at times, but also he was going through some shit. But on Claire's end, I am very happy that she was able to stand up for herself and kind of take ownership of her feelings.
Yes, I love that. I really did. I really feel like that was a good thing for her to be like, see you in September. And you know who she actually sees in September?
Eli.
Yes. Such a good ending for her and Casey to start the most insane relationship there is after this.
Yeah, because honestly, I was just thinking about this, about how season 8 Claire and Eli would not have worked because Claire was so sheltered and reserved. But after like the bits of development that she got over these past two seasons, like now she is a bit more sure of herself. She knows what she doesn't want in a relationship, at least a little bit.
Yeah.
So I think she's in a very good position after this season for her relationship with Eli to be as iconic as it is, for better or worse.
I agree. Anything else?
Yeah, that seems like a good conclusion. We're leaving everybody off to go into season 10.
For real. But don't you worry, we are not done with season 9 just yet.
No. We, of course, still have Holly J and other people related to Holly J. I forget. Who is it?
Declan, Fiona, Jane, Sav, Anya.
Yes, yes. Oh, Declan and Jane.
And then we will be rounding off season 9 with, of course, Degrassi Takes Manhattan.
Yes, not as great as the greatest film of all time, Degrassi Goes Hollywood, but entertaining nonetheless.
So good.
Yeah, so thank you for listening, and we will see you soon.